Today on Seculo, disorder on the border, delusion, denial, and dysfunction. We'll talk about that with former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo.
Live from Washington, D.C., Seculo Live.
Do you have any plans to visit the border?
We are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border. We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I don't understand the point that you're making. I'm not discounting the importance of the border.
And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, so that was just a clip. By the way, that's not Fox News. I want to make it clear. That's Lester Holt from NBC. Not exactly with a hardball question. This was a question that if you were Vice President Harris on a trip and you're in Guatemala and you're about to go to Mexico City, and she's in Mexico City right now as we speak, that you know you're going to get the question even from more friendly news outlets. How do you respond to the fact that you haven't gone to the border? Neither has the president. You were in charge of this. And this has now sparked, and I think unfortunately for the Biden administration, it's refocused people's attention on, well, what's going on at the border? I want you to hear these stats real quick, because I think that it's easy to see that, you know, if you're someone, and you do, if you're listening to our broadcast, you follow the news, follow what's happening around the world. But you're not your own journalist. So if you're not on the border, you don't realize, you know, when the news kind of covers it a lot and then they kind of move on to something else. Yeah. Here's the numbers. So right when Biden comes into office, 78,000 people were apprehended trying to cross the southern border illegally. February, it moves up to 101,000. March jumps up to 173,000. Okay, so huge jumps. April, so just last month, the last month of recorded documents, because we don't have May's numbers yet, 178,000. So just because the news may not be showing you the kids in cages right now, every time you turn on the news, like it does sometimes, the numbers are doubling. I mean, they have doubled in less than 4 months, and they are on the path to tripling. And part of her speech in Guatemala, which we'll play also, was, don't come because we're going to start enforcing the laws. But all they have really been doing is rolling back laws. No remain in Mexico policy. Again, basically gutting the ability for ICE to do their job. Take a listen to this quickly, because she's using rhetoric, which, by the way, I will give AOC this credit. She called it out, because this was the kind of rhetoric that if Donald Trump said it, or if Vice President Pence said it, or if someone in the administration said it, they would be, oh, this is horrendous. I can't believe they said this. Here's Vice President Harris. Take a listen to this. This is something that Donald Trump would have said on the campaign trail, did say on the campaign trail, to differentiate themselves from the Biden team. Take a listen.
Do not come. Do not come. The United States will continue to enforce our laws and secure our border.
What, 78,000 in January, 178,000, so 100,000 additional people apprehended. Those are people who they're able to stop. That's only the people they're able to stop. And by the way, those people aren't necessarily being sent back.
No, we're going to get to that in the next segment, because they're not only not being sent back, but they may be being sent to your hometown.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that.
Cities.
By the way, arrested also MS-13 gang members. Two migrants convicted of child sexual assault, more than $6 million, and this is in a couple of days, $6 million worth of marijuana, $2 million worth of cocaine and fentanyl, undercover, a smuggling attempt that led to 63 arrests. They also are constantly rescuing scores of immigrants in the desert who need life-saving attention in order to live. This is what's going on down there. Now, Wes Smith has called it disorder on the border, delusion, denial, and dysfunction. We're going to get into all of this. And your questions and comments as well when we come back from the break. We encourage you to stay. If you have any calls, give us a call at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Follow us on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Jay Seculo, at Jordan Seculo, at ACLJ. Back with more in a moment.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Take a listen to this. So, because some of this is from the speech from Vice President Harris, the big newsmaker this morning was because NBC News, and I want to keep repeating that. It is NBC News and Lester Holt who released the clip of Vice President Harris stumbling around why she hadn't been to the border yet, which, again, is like the most obvious question that anyone is going to ask, including a friendly news outlet, because it's he gave it up as a softball.
And there was such an easy answer.
There were answers like, I would be a distraction right now because there is a serious situation down there. And, you know, if I go, it's a bunch of security. It's a photo op. It's not like we're not doing anything.
We sent our Department of Homeland Security.
We're there.
But we know why they don't want to go down there. Because they don't want the imaging and they don't want to own this. So the best way to do this is what Wes Smith wrote in his piece that's at ACLJ.org. The reason there's disorder on the border is because it's delusion, denial, and dysfunction, Wes.
Yeah, the delusion part of it is, you know, they really apparently don't understand the whys of what is going on. There's no situational awareness how that reversing policies has led to this crisis. And, of course, the denial is they say it's not a crisis. The border's secure, she says. The border is closed. Why is everyone so upset? Her response to Lester Holt was, I don't understand the point you're making. That is extreme denial. And, of course, the dysfunction is mayors and governors are so panicked. They're trying to step in as best they can. The Border Patrol's hands are tied. Jordan mentioned how high the illegal crossings that we confronted last month were. And yet, deportations last month were at an all-time low, less than 3,000 people deported last month, and yet she is continuing to say, as is the administration, that if you come, you will be turned back. In fact, reality is they're not being turned back by and large.
No, I mean, I think, it's interesting that she's being criticized from the left on saying, you know, how can we say that you can't, AOC, she tweeted out, this is disappointing.
This is in relation to the do not come,
legal.
Right.
You know, U.S. is all this. She's blaming the U.S. for destabilization of Latin American regimes. I mean, this is going back to the other thing about how we're teaching history in our country, trying to rewrite history in our country. The truth is, the numbers speak for themselves. The kids are back in cages. The people are being. It is a humanitarian crisis.
Yep.
We don't have the funding for the officials who need to be there, and it was of their own doing. They created a humanitarian crisis where people are willing to sell off their children to you know, as they we've talked about, they use them over and over and over again to get across the border. That being said, though, we see images of, you know, one or two groups. Think about the fact 178,000 human beings were stopped. If that many people were going through, I bet there's 178,000 plus who made it.
Probably.
Easily.
And
walked right across, because you can't, that is like dealing with a full.
Those are just called encounters, by the way. It doesn't mean arrests. It just means encounters. Now, what's interesting in all of that, Andy, is we've been saying this for months on this, a year on this, more than a year on this broadcast. We call it crisis at the border, but it's a crisis for the country. Because it affects, we talked about the sex traffickers using the interstate highway system, but now we're finding our own government is taking these now displaced persons and dropping them off. The most recent example is in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
That's right, Jay. We have now learned that the government, the central government, our federal government, transported 4 plane loads of unaccompanied alien minors, unaccompanied alien children, unknown to the governor of Tennessee, unknown to the 2 United States senators of Tennessee, and to the congressman from Tennessee for that district, and dropped them off in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and then loaded them on buses and dispersed them to various as yet unidentified cities throughout the southeastern United States. What that does is put an incredible burden upon schools, hospitals, law enforcement, public health agencies, and other entities in southeastern cities in the United States to deal with these children, because they just said, coordinate it with us, the governments of the state and local authorities said, and the government, central government of the United States, the Biden administration, just disregarded that and said, we're going to do it in the dead of night at Wilson Air Center in Chattanooga, Tennessee, dropped them off and let them there, put them on buses and disperse them to unknown locations. That's not the way you coordinate the proper disposition and coordination of children unaccompanied who have fled from the southern border.
Well, I think this is their entire issue, is that, one, we try to make this all about the southern border, and that is where the problem is.
That's the root cause.
The root cause is not climate change in Guatemala. The root cause is they changed policies that worked and brought on. I mean, this was a self-induced crisis. If they would have just kept the policies in place that were working, there's always going to be people trying to cross the border illegally and criminal elements doing that. And you know, it would be that the Trump numbers were always around, just so it's fair, they were like in the 20,000 encounters, 30,000. So it wasn't like no one was trying. But we're talking about from 20 to 30 to the first month Biden's in office was almost 80 to now 180,000. So that's self-induced. You had it, and that 20,000 plus people in a month is manageable. That's a manageable problem. That's not a crisis. It's an issue you have to constantly deal with. They were building the wall to help deal with that. They were tackling the problems, putting good policies in place, working with these governments who you think would be tough to work with on this, because a lot of times the people who are leaving are burdens on these much poorer countries economically. So if they're the people in those countries who use the most social services, who lack the ability to take care of themselves, are the ones leaving. Remember Mexico used to be, under the Obama years, was writing guides about how to do it?
Right.
We're almost back to that.
Almost.
Except for most of these governments were used to a previous administration that had put them into the corner of saying, no, you got to work with us. You're going to keep the people in Mexico while they wait for their asylum hearing. All these issues, they said people thought it wouldn't work. It worked, because if you really were going to seek asylum, maybe it'd be worth waiting in Mexico. If you had a phony claim, which most is, you know, there's not 180,000 people with asylum claims coming out of South America right now, you weren't going to wait in Mexico.
No, so, you know, when you look, you said this earlier, and you're absolutely correct. If everybody wants to focus on the root cause of the problem, the root cause of the problem is what's happening on the border. The impact of that problem is felt in the rest of the country. Now, what the Biden administration has adopted as a policy, Harry, to me, it seems like is, we're going to go to these countries of origin, and we're going to focus on those countries and make things better down there, and maybe it will stop. Now, that sounds very altruistic, and it sounds like a great idea, except A, not going to happen in any time in this administration or the next one. There's not enough money in to do that. We don't control those governments. So the policy is misplaced from the outset, this whole root cause issue.
Absolutely. So I think the Biden policy is highly aspirational and highly ineffective. And so instead of reinstituting Trump-era policies that actually work, the Biden administration has allowed the border to be basically open wide to anyone who wishes to cross. So the situation at the southern border is bad and getting worse virtually each and every day. On the other hand, the immigration policies of the Biden-Harris administration are not only bad, they're terrifying. So each and every day, new delusions are exposed, laid bare right before our own eyes, and yet the Biden administration continues to do what? To engage in a series of robotic responses. The border is closed. The border is closed. The border is closed. The Trump administration is to blame. The Trump administration is to blame. And the ban plays on while midnight flights are coming from the southern border to Lewiston, Maine, to Chattanooga, Tennessee, dropping crazy individuals off in the nighttime and not notifying local authorities. So what the Biden administration is doing as part of its affirmative policy is trying to spread the problem throughout the United States, and this is part and parcel of a deliberate policy to change and transform America at the end of the day.
And her, she knows she's getting the question on why she's not going to be there. Why haven't you visited the border? And the answer, like Jordan said, could be too much distraction. We're sending our people down there. We're at the border every day with our people. But instead, it's almost like plausible deniability.
It is. And it appears, and hopefully appearances are wrong, but I don't think they are. It appears that she's being dismissive to Americans who are truly concerned about this crisis, the sex trafficking, the drugs, the national security. And she's almost like she's laughing it off. And I'm sorry, she mentioned that she hasn't been to Europe either. There is no U.S. border crisis in Europe. There is one here.
Right.
You know, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is going to be joining us next to talk about these issues because, you know, now that she's going around meeting with these foreign leaders, issuing these statements to their own people, which the rhetoric is one thing, and then the policies, they don't match up. And then, of course, this response back to Lester Holt of, I don't even understand your point. That was to Lester Holt about the question. And again, I keep pointing that out because there's no softballer than going to NBC News as a Democrat. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
So, Vice President Harris, she makes her first trip to Guatemala and Mexico on the border. This is since being tasked to be the lead for the Biden administration on the border crisis. So she flew over the border, has not yet visited the border to go to these meetings. Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is joining us now, senior counsel for the ACLJ. And Secretary Pompeo, I just want to ask you this. Kamala Harris, the Vice President Harris, she said, do not come to people in Guatemala when she was speaking there with their president. She said the United States will continue to enforce our laws and secure our border. Sounds like language maybe from the previous administration that you served in, except for the fact that we know, Secretary Pompeo, that those laws she's talking about are being gutted day by day by the Biden administration.
Yeah, Jordan, thanks for having me on today. Look, those words are great. You could cut and paste some of those words from language I would have used or President Trump would have used, but the difference is not words, it was actions that we took, that turned the magnet off, that closed our southern border, that secured it in a way that protected American sovereignty and kept the American people foremost in our border policy. You know, she's down in Guatemala, but we've got people coming in from 100-plus countries all around the world. In the end, the requirement is that we do the right things at our border, the remain in Mexico policy, the fact that we didn't let asylees stay here until their claim was adjudicated, all of those things, building the wall, the physical security component, all of those things drove a policy that was rational. Jordan, this is we have problems around the world. This one's a man-made crisis. This is policy-driven. The administration could stop this surge at the border in a heartbeat by simply reverting to the policies that were in place on January 20th of this year. The data supports it, and I think Americans are going to demand it.
Let me ask you this, Mike. One of the things that we've been talking about in the last segment of the broadcast, which is an unfortunate true reality, it is a border crisis, and that the entry point of the crisis is at our southern border. But the fact is, this is impacting the rest of the country. We've talked about the sex trafficking using the interstate system, prostitution, drugs, so forth. We also now know that the administration, without coordinating with state and local officials, has been dropping off plane loads of sometimes minors with others, into cities like Chattanooga, Tennessee, and just depositing these kids there into various facilities with no coordination with local government or state government. So I ask myself, now we've created the border crisis, is now a national crisis.
That's right. In lots of communities in many states all across of America, this is a calamity waiting to happen. Bad things will flow from this. Bad things will happen to the illegal immigrants themselves. That is, they'll end up being trafficked or worse. We'll have increased crime in those places because these people will turn to that in order to figure their way through it. And then we've got an administration that doesn't tell governors and mayors and county commissioners, hey, this is what we're doing, this is why we're doing it, all the while bringing in tens of thousands of people, allowing them to transit our border, and then essentially releasing them all across the country. This is a nationwide problem. It's worse in Arizona, California, and Texas, but it's a problem everywhere in the United States today because they're moving these people all across our country.
Andy Economor, senior counsel, has a question about this, and Andy was both a U.S. attorney and a district attorney, and a state attorney general's office, so he has experience in this. But he's got a question because it's one of the things we're concerned about here, Secretary Pompeo, is the fact that it appears that there's nothing being enforced, actually. But go ahead, Andy.
Mr. Secretary, Vice President Harris said, I believe if you come to our border, you will be turned back. Has the administration done anything in your estimation which gives you confidence that that statement is true and it will be enforced?
Nothing, Andy. Literally nothing. Indeed, I always think the best evidence of how effective one's border policies are is the number of people that you're encountering. We're now in the 100,000 plus every month, a multiples increase from where we were a year ago today. The fact is that these people know that they can come to the southern border. They know they can make their way through. They know that they're not going to be returned to Mexico. They are likely to be pushed out somewhere inside of the United States. For them, that's a good thing. That's a good outcome for them. for American sovereignty and protecting our citizens and American workers all across the country, it's not a good thing. I don't think there's any evidence to support what you just told me that Vice President Harris said.
Colonel Smith's got another question for the Secretary as well.
Yeah, Mr. Secretary, you know, part of the answer, it seems, and I know that it's been tried before, is to send billions of taxpayer dollars to the Northern Triangle countries to try, you know, and build some things there, jobs and security and what have you, to help them out. But my concern about that is, in the past, when we have sent billions of dollars to these countries, they're frequently siphoned off by corrupt leaders. What's your thought about that? In your experience, is that a real problem, that if we send them money, which is what Biden-Harris is recommending that we do, will it really go to help the root causes, as they call it?
You know, we looked at this too. Look, no, everyone can appreciate that these are difficult economic circumstances in Ecuador and El Salvador and Honduras. We feel for these people's economic plight, but everything we looked at and the history of sending tens of billions of dollars of American taxpayer money to these countries demonstrated that it won't work. It doesn't work for a whole handful of reasons. The money doesn't go where you think it's going to go. It's siphoned off, or corrupt leaders end up with it, or they don't use it for real reforms. It gets spread around and then ends up in the hands of bad actors all across their own countries. This idea that somehow you can approach the root cause of these places and stop these people from coming across our border is foolish. It simply won't work. We saw, we contemplated doing the same thing, concluded it didn't make sense, that we couldn't get value for it. We couldn't get the mission accomplished, which was preserving American sovereignty. And so we didn't do it. In fact, there were times we used that money in a way that actually delivered the very outcomes, the very border security that President Trump aimed to achieve.
Well, I look at this, Secretary Pompeo. I see what the Trump administration was able to do, taking a totally different approach to these countries. I mean, I feel, you know, we talk a lot of times about the embassy in Jerusalem, and the idea was, if this happens, it's going to blow up the world. The idea that we could go to Mexico and say, you know what, we're going to put in a policy, people are going to stay here until you said, until they're it's their time for the adjudication of their of asylum claim. It was all flew in the face of what these same individuals from the Obama years who are back being, you know, retread it again, but it's like they will not accept any of the successes that were negotiated out through our diplomatic efforts over the last 4 years, and the numbers are staggering. I mean, under the Trump administration, we saw 20,000 and 30,000. It's a problem. It was a problem at the border being addressed, and then it jumped from set to 78,000. And the last month we have numbers on April, it's 178,000. People, do you think ultimately the reason why the president and Vice President Harris, they have no good answer for why they won't go, but I think we all know who are involved in politics, Secretary Pompeo, is that this has got to be the photo. They don't want the photo.
Yeah, I think that's certainly true. But remember, in their debate, they were asked about whether we should provide free health care to those who come across our border illegally, and I think nearly every one of them raised their hand. They have a different view of our border. They think it should be much more open, much more fluid. They're certainly getting that. And the crisis that has followed from that set of policies is very, very real all across America.
I have it in my office. Who wants to lose the election? It was a hands up, because they all said free health care to anybody who crosses. Doesn't matter if it's illegal or not. Now we're seeing it play out. And it's not just in Texas. It's also in Chattanooga, Tennessee. So that's how it starts reaching the entire country. Thank you, Secretary Pompeo. We'll be back second half hour.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
You know, this is, it's interesting because we talk about root cause issues, and listen, it's from this administration, we get a lot of the politics that we're used to. It's climate change. It's we all know what it is. It's simple. It's what Secretary Pompeo just said. It's economics. These are countries that you could keep throwing money at them for any amount of years, billions of dollars. Yep. Most of that's going to go in the hands of the pocket of a few elites that run the country, or bad elements within. I mean, Mexico is dealing with a lot of their just Mexico alone. Take out the smaller Northern Triangle countries. Huge of these cartels that are running full on paramilitary groups, fighting each other, taking out. I mean, if you run for office there, it's like you're signing your own death wish. And that's, it doesn't matter what party you are, what side you're on. If you're law enforcement, if you're a judge, a police officer, trying to do the right thing, but all of this had been negotiated out. That literally, this could have been something they took in. If they wanted to make improvements with facilities, whatever, things like that, what go right ahead. But they didn't have a crisis.
No.
And it was a problem. It was a crisis under the Obama years. Then it was a problem. It was being handled. The policies were working. The numbers were coming way down. I mean,
way down.
And now there are 100,000, 150,000 plus more people, human beings, that ICE and CBP is having to deal with on their own.
Okay, so they're talking about their catchphrase is root causes. That's the term that they're using in all of this, root causes. So in Guatemala, the president of Guatemala sets forth what is one of the root causes. And I want you to listen to it, then we're going to discuss it.
The talk that they were going to allow family reunification made the coyotes take a lot of children towards the border of the United States. So
there you have it. A policy of reunification, Harry, that was being touted by the administration, and the Guatemala president hits it right on the head. So, of course, they're going to try to do it.
Absolutely. He understands that it's foreseeable, that it is indeed predictable that the crisis at the American border will worsen, that more Guatemalans, Ecuadorians, El Salvadorians will cross into Mexico and then into the United States. The United States has failed to enforce international law. It's failed to enforce our own laws. And basically, we have printed a huge welcome mat. Please come. While Joe Biden, Vice President Harris are saying what? Don't come. So I think people respond to the facts on the ground, not to the statements mouthed by politicians at the drop of a microphone.
You know, Harry said, you got on one hand, don't come. On the other hand, we're encouraged, you know, we're a land of opportunity, pretty much is what we're saying. And the root cause issue is a problem, no question. But the problem is on the border itself, Andy. So you can get to all the root causes of how they got there. And I think the president of Guatemala hit that pretty well, actually. But the fact of the matter is, until you go down there and actually see what's going on and correct it, it's not going to change.
No, she won't. And Vice President Harris will absolutely not answer a direct question from NBC News, Lester Holt, on are you going to the border? She just keeps cackling and laughing and saying, we've been to the border. We've been to the border. Well, you haven't been to the border. You didn't go down there. She said, well, I didn't go to Europe. And I thought, what a ridiculous remark that is. What does Europe have to do with the south western border of the United States? I mean, you haven't been to Antarctica either. There's no problem there. You need to go where the problem exists. You need to go where the difficulties are. You need to go where the clashes are taking place between our Border Patrol and ICE people and these immigrants coming from the southern, from Central America.
And basically, the only people able to travel and do this work is the government officials. And so it's not weird that she hasn't been to Europe. There's a pandemic going on, and that's not part of her portfolio. Her main portfolio, the first thing she got tasked with was a border crisis. They didn't want to call it crisis. Problem at the border, and still flying over it, making trips that none of us can make right now, but we'll not just go see the people who are coming.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I want to go to calls. Ben in California, on line one. Hey, Ben, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Thank you so much for taking my call, and thank you for the work you do.
Thanks, Ben.
I was wondering why we couldn't get a federal judge to issue an order stopping these policies.
You know, well, it's interesting. There was a Supreme Court case, unanimous, came out just a couple days ago,
yesterday.
Yep. And it involved about 400,000 people who had come here illegally, and they were granted green cards. And the Supreme Court said, in unanimous, that's liberals and conservatives, it said, no, unless you change the law, which Congress can do, and Congress has the ability to do under the Constitution, you can't give a green card to someone who started the process illegally and then keep giving them temporary legal status here. So that involved 400,000 people. There are ways to go to court, so that does show the example. But it took all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court
to get a resolution.
To get a resolution. And now there's a difference between what the law is and how the law is enforced.
Yeah, so
remember how the Obama years, they said, we're going to deprioritize certain things. But it was marijuana was one of those issues. We're going to stop. We're not going to look for that anymore.
Prosecutorial discretion.
Right. But we're going to put up other things, you know, harder drugs.
Which they can do.
And that's how they get around what the court ruling or the law is.
Yep.
Is by saying, what are we going to focus on at the Department of Justice?
So a number of states have also tried to, border states, Arizona, Texas, have tried to bring suits also, federal lawsuits. And one of the things, Andy, that's happened with these federal lawsuits is that the courts have said, now, wait a minute, these policies are set by the federal government. Migration into the United States is set by the federal government. So they've limited, because there's a lot of questions about that, why can't the states do more? They're limited under federalism.
That's right. There's a doctrine of supremacy and where the federal government has the right to interfere or interface or to set policy, the states cannot go above that and supersede that and take the law into their own hands. The Constitution sets tiers of authority. So where the government, the central government, the federal government has already spoken, such as treaties, migration, immigration, things of that magnitude and of that nature, the states cannot do anything. They are prohibited by the Constitution, and the Supreme Court has said that they are prohibited by the Constitution from interfering in those kinds of international policies.
Yeah, I mean, so this again, we've seen the court cases time and time again. when the states have tried to do anything, they're shut down.
Yep.
And it's the court saying, listen, again, the federal government can deputize you. You can't deputize yourself to enforce. That's basically what it came down to.
Yeah, and that mean, we should explain that some. That means the federal government could say, we're going to allow the states do certain acts because we don't have the resources, or we're going to coordinate with state and local officials. But the states cannot do it on their own.
No, and I think also what you see is that, you know, Andy talked about how these people are getting, it's not just an issue of southern border, the southwest border, but also medium, small-town America, medium-sized cities in America, and what they're working on primarily, remember, most cities are still run by Democrats. Anywhere in the southeast, even in the most red states of the country, the cities, urban I mean, most of these cities are, and so that, and their city councils are, so they're in line with this, even though it's totally out, it doesn't line up with the suburbs of those cities and the general state you might see. So the effects are, I think, when you start having, if you're having 180,000 people, they're not all staying in Texas either.
Right.
That'd be impossible. Those towns on the border could not hold that. So they're literally putting people on planes and deciding where they go. Now, that'd be one thing if they were people that were immigrating legally, and you look at cities across the country that need an influx of workers. They need people to work. And listen, that's a lot of cities right now. But if you don't speak English, if you haven't been vaccinated, you know, no one's talking about that, by the way. These guys, they love the masks. They love the social distancing. They love the shutdown, unless you're an illegal immigrant. And then you're flying on an airplane and being dropped off in a state. No one else is doing that. No one else is having this travel. So, again, that if they do believe in the health dangers of this, 180,000 people who could be carrying a hybrid of the COVID virus a month coming into the country illegally that we can't track is a serious problem.
Look at the numbers. The numbers of increase. This is coming from the chief of U.S. Border Patrol at the Del Rio sector, Austin Sciro. Listen to what he said.
Our numbers here so far this fiscal year are sitting at around 125,000. So that's compared to 24,000 or so last year. So we're looking at over a 500% increase in the number of apprehensions just in this sector alone.
Okay, you've had a 500% increase in one sector. So don't you ask yourself, you were a colonel in the United States Army. Obviously what we're doing now is not working.
You would think that would be the common sense, logical way to react to that, but they're not doing it. It seems like common sense is not so common with this administration. And we keep talking about root causes, Jay, the Northern Triangle countries. Yep. The DHS stats are there. I looked them up last week. 44% of the people that are caught crossing the border illegally are from the Northern Triangle. All the rest of them, that's less than half. The rest of them are either from Mexico, they've been caught as far away as the Middle East, Romania. They're coming in from other parts of the world. Less than half of the problem is related to Northern Triangle, and yet the only root cause the Biden administration is addressing is the Northern Triangle countries. And again, it's like you were just saying, it doesn't make sense.
Let me play another bite from, again, this is from the chief of the U.S. Border Patrol, Del Rio sector. This is number three, where they're seeing people from.
We've seen a lot of Venezuelans, a lot of Cubans, a lot of Haitians. It's not just nationalities from the Northern Triangle. There are many different countries. We've apprehended folks from 75 different countries so far this year.
75 different countries, Harry, this year in the Del Rio sector.
Absolutely. And the Biden administration continues to ignore the sources of the problem.
Right.
It is a worldwide problem, and it potentially could, in the future, unleash terrorism in the United States. It has currently unleashed drug trafficking, sex trafficking, and other problems in the United States. And the Biden administration refuses to acknowledge what is obvious to virtually every rational person. They have created this problem, but they refuse to own the problem.
In one sector, they, you know, it's not just Mexicans and Venezuelans, but think about this: Cubans, Haitians. These are people who live on islands,
right?
Who are deciding somehow they're getting from an island.
Think about this:
to somewhere in Central America. So whatever boat journey, air journey, whatever the dangers that there. then going up through the board, the same person we just played, I mean, we don't have to play the bite, but 75 different countries this year. This has been only a few months into this year. So, you know, you're in 75 different places.
In
so
one
it's not
sector.
It's not just Honduras, El Salvador, Guatemala.
Just in
and Mexico.
So here's the problem. So the vice president, Harry, goes down to the one sector, and or goes down to the Northern Triangle countries, and doesn't look at the fact that, as Georgia said, Cuba, Haiti, 75 countries. They're not going to send her to 75 countries. The root cause is you can get in. That's the problem.
Absolutely. So she. Vice President Harris ought to concentrate on one thing and one thing only, stopping the influx of immigrants right at our own border. So one of the things that Vice President Harris and the Biden administration need to do expeditiously is to renew their commitment to enforcing U.S. law, not simply saying, don't come. Why don't you simply enforce the law, empower border agents to apply the law, and to basically incentivize future immigrants to the United States, illegal immigrants, not to come because we simply will not allow them to enter?
And that's because, Andy, she says in her interview, I believe if you come to our borders, you'll be turned back. She didn't say you will be turned back if you come to our borders.
Yeah, she just says she has belief that that will happen. And as Secretary Pompeo said, that the Biden administration has done nothing to give confidence in the accuracy or truth of that belief, because they don't enforce it and they won't enforce it. They're not allowing, as Professor Hutchison said, customs and border officials to do their duties, to do their jobs, to exercise the functions that exist under law. They're thwarting that by their policies, by retracting President Trump's return to Mexico policy and allowing these unparalleled instances of encounters from 75 countries through the southern border. They're making our borders porous and, I think, undermining the United States.
Yeah, I mean, when we come back, we'll take more of your calls. 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, get those calls in now. 1-800-684-3110. Your comments as well on Facebook, YouTube, Periscope. This is an issue for those on the border, but also for those across the cities. I want to hear from you if you live in one of these cities where you know that these individuals, where that you know these air
being
these
dropped
flights
off.
Have been dropped off or buses have been pulled up. I'd love to hear from you, especially if you work inside that government or work inside that and you're dealing with it and your business. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
Point, our producer will put together, just so you understand the scope, when they talk about 75 countries, one sector on the border. Okay, so, you know, if you just look at a map, pull one out after the broadcast, if you're in the car, don't do that right now. But you can even do it on Google Maps, so you can zoom out all the way. And you will see that they're not 75 countries lining up between Central America and South America. By the way, and if you want to lump in the Caribbean there, as well, we're talking about 47 countries. Now, there's 26 of those are Caribbean islands. Some of those are larger.
Right.
Some of those are very small. But think about that. I mean, you're lumping in island nations and then talking about, well, this is all because the land, you know, the land is connected. But it's not. So they are taking second and third and fourth steps to get into the United States. And all about economics for the most part. Real asylum cases. You have to have evidence. You have to have documentation. Usually, you have to have news reports, stories. You have to have had a real kind of persecution from either the government itself or elements the government can't control, and they have to be targeting you and your family. So it can't just be, you know, cartels are bad, and I live in Mexico, so I don't want to be here anymore. But it has to be the cartels are going after you for specific reasons. Can't be economic. And you've got to go through that list, make that case out. And again, this is, but what we're seeing is that we get distracted by Mexico, the Northern Triangle, and then a little bit in South America. And you realize that if you could take all those countries, there's another 30 countries people are coming from in one sector on the border.
Yep.
And we see it from the Middle East. We saw terrorists. We've seen traffickers, see Eastern Europeans, Central Europeans. Anybody who thinks this is a good time to try and break the law, get to the country, and then what they're hoping for long-term is another blanket amnesty move.
Well, and the president of Guatemala said it. The policy of the Biden administration, and it certainly was Obama, was the family unit reunification. So when you do the breakdown, this is what's interesting, 14 countries from South America, 26 Caribbean countries, like Jordan said, 7 Central American countries, which is 47 countries. There are, that means 28 countries are represented that aren't in South America, Central America, or the Caribbean.
You want to deal with the root cause of 47 countries? By the way, just start with those 47.
Yeah.
What's the root cause in each one? It's a little different.
Right.
You know, it may be largely economic, broad speaking, okay? But, I mean, you could say that about almost every country versus the United States. We are the best place to be if you want to start a business, if you want to start, work hard, and move your way up. We're better than countries that are also well-advanced countries. We're better than Europe. We're much easier than European countries. Not easy to become a millionaire. Not easy to become wealthy. You were kind of stuck in whatever position you were born in still. So, but those countries are again, they have better social service programs, better economies. But what we see is, I mean, the difference is what you're dealing with in Haiti is different than what you're dealing with in Guatemala. Unless you just want to broadly say, by the way, it's not climate change. It's just pure dollars and cents. I mean, that has always been the issue. And that is why we have a distinction between people who want to immigrate here. And then we have categories.
Yep.
And it's easier to immigrate if you've got special skills that we need at a certain time. You get temporary work visits if you have if you're willing to work in the farming industry and things like that, where you can come for periods of time legally. And then, of course, there's all those different kinds of visas that we allow. Then there's asylum, which is when you're being targeted. And then there's just basic immigration. I have a friend here who is, his wife went to U.S. law school. They're about to have their first child. And she's still applying through the process.
It takes a long time.
Canadian.
Yep.
It's taken 10 plus years. I mean, so just to go through the process legally. Here, and again, having to constantly renew the visa, and she's working as a U.S. trade attorney at a U.S. company. That's people who do things legally. It is upsetting. It is infuriating to people when they see that then, you know, if you just cross over, not only do you get all the government benefits, but it's like government benefits plus if you break the law.
Right.
You're getting better benefits than our hardest, toughest communities in the United States than you are if and who are American citizens in the poorest places in our country.
Yep.
Let's go to Whitney on line three in Texas. Hey, Whitney, welcome to Secular. You're on the air.
Thanks so much, Jordan. So I just wanted to say, as a Texan, it's especially frustrating to hear Vice President Harris talk, go through her root cause rhetoric. And it's, you know, it's nonsensical and really irresponsible. And to sort of analogize that level of irresponsibility, no one would accept a doctor who had a patient who was bleeding profusely. And the doctor says, I refuse to apply a tourniquet to the wound to stave the bleeding until I find out the root cause for the bleed. Well, the patient would die. And to complete the analogy, I think Harris is nothing short of political malpractice.
Here's the thing that I think that's the reality is. They have decided, they've come up with this concept or this construct of root causes. They're going to get to root causes. So she's going to take the high road, the vice president. That's how the administration, and believe me, this is coming from the president too. That's how they're going to handle it. We're going to deal with the root causes. And basically say, well, what's happening at the border is happening, but if we can get to the root cause behind that bleeding, to use your analogy, maybe we can stop more of it later. Except you're right, the patient then bleeds out. So here's the problem with this whole approach that they're taking with root causes. The Guatemala president said, you are saying family reunification. You are saying, you know, Biden, when he was running, we're letting them, you know, I'm a good guy, and all of this perception. And so now, Andy, they expect, you could say, it's like you say with one hand, don't come, that's the line, don't come, but yet the policies don't fulfill that.
No, there's not, there is,
disconnect.
This is dissonance and a dichotomy, in fact, a contradiction. You can't say come and then don't come at the same time. I'm a good guy. I want migration to come to the United States. I want the technical skills of these people. We're a nation of immigrants and so forth. And then you turn around and say, but don't come. I'm going to find the right root causes of why you're being propelled from your homeland. It's like I said, don't prosecute the murderer. Instead, let's talk about why people murder.
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
Exactly the same thing. Here again is Vice President Harris' own words, number 31.
We, as one of our priorities, will discourage illegal migration. And I believe if you come to our border, you will be turned back.
It just does not sound convincing, Wes. It does not sound convincing.
Well, and in this same statement, she said that we are going to enforce, you know, border security. And at another place, she didn't say, I believe you will be turned back. She said, we will continue to turn you away. You can't continue to do something that you're not doing.
Right.
They are not turning people away. They're not securing the border. So to say we're going to continue to secure it makes no sense.
So, Harry, there's a disconnect between, I mean, I think the bottom line on this broadcast is there's a disconnect between rhetoric and policy.
Absolutely. So after gutting ICE, the Remain in Mexico policy, they stopped building the wall. Now Vice President Harris is struck with her own delusion. She is basically infected by her own delusion that simply by saying, don't come, people will remain in Mexico. That is nonsense.
All right, folks, check out ACLJ.org. Wes has the piece up too. Disorder on the border, delusion, denial, dysfunction. So a lot of the information we've talked about is there. So you can share it with your friends and family at ACLJ.org. We also always encourage you, if you can support our work financially, you can do that online safely and securely and donate online at ACLJ.org. We will talk to you tomorrow.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.